vaccinations, but the question is, who's getting vaccinated against what? Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principal Policy. And along with me today is my co-host, our Vice Chairman at the Institute, fellow analyst, and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
And it's good to be back in the studio with you, Barry.
It's good to be here. Chuck and I, as we get ready to prepare for these programs, we go through and we look at what's going on in the media. We don't limit ourselves to just here locally or in Ohio. We look all over the country. But this article that I found from Monday's Washington Times article kind of hit close to home because we here at the Institute for Principled Policy have dealt with this issue here in Ohio in the past and so far have been fairly successful at keeping it at bay. But we always knew this was going to happen, Chuck. I mean, you know, we kind of predicted this from the get-go that that was the way this was going to have to happen. Okay, we'll fill you in. What is going on right now is a new announcement from the American Academy of Pediatrics. You know, all of your kids' doctors, their association, the people who are supposed to be looking out for the best interests of your children. Well, they've made a new announcement. What is that announcement? The announcement is children should be immunized. Why is that news? Why is that important? Well, it's important because they're very specific this time about what immunization they want certain groups to have. That group is 11 to 12-year-old boys. The vaccination is a series of three shots to supposedly immunize against HPV, which is the human papilloma virus. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a sexually transmitted disease. It does and can cause cancer of the cervix in women.
Well, the virus. Let's be clear. Not the vaccine.
Not the vaccine.
We don't want to create confusion.
Because there's. I'll tell you what, the vaccine can do a lot more things than that. So
it's deadly in its own way, but it doesn't cause cancer, at least directly.
Well, you see, Chuck's really had some close encounters with this because back just a few years ago, a legislator here in Ohio, a Democrat by the name of Edna Brown, was going to pass a bill to mandate that girls be given this three-series shot as a condition for them to be able to be in school. I mean, they were looking at girls from the ages, I think, of, I believe it was like 11 to 13 or something like that.
Well, 11 through college.
11 through college. That's okay. You're right. But the point is that as we did more digging and investigation into this, because at the time, the only manufacturer of the human papillomavirus vaccine was Merck.
Merck Sharp and Dohme,
Merck Pharmaceutical Company.
Yep.
And it was, their brand product was Gardasil. Now, I'm sure that the vast majority of our listeners have heard of Gardasil because there's huge marketing campaigns continually about how wonderful Gardasil is in protecting your young girls, should they choose at the tender age of 11 years old, to start having sex. Now, Chuck, it begs a lot of questions, but let's get down to the medical aspects of this because this is where you've done a lot of research on this. As a matter of fact, it was part of our vocal opposition to this bill, which I believe kept the legislature from moving forward on it because, everybody wants to be for children's health.
Well, there are a lot of unanswered questions at the time that still remain unanswered to this day, and that is, if your 11-year-old child has the shot, how long does the immunity last? Nobody knows. Nobody knows yet what the immunity length is. Nobody knows if it's 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, permanent. Nobody knows. There were other issues that popped up with this thing. For instance, there have been a gigantic, and by gigantic, I mean very large, speaking medically,
statistically
significant number of cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome. Other kinds of autoimmune responses, things like kicking up lupus outbreaks, rheumatoid arthritis. Those are minor ones. Some of the major ones, believe it or not, are there have been several girls who have died as the result of this vaccination.
Well, you know, Chuck, we know that we've seen the data and statistics on this, but obviously the American Academy of Pediatrics has not, because in the article from the Washington Times where they're talking about now, the doctors, the AAP, specifically, are calling for boys age 11 and 12 to be given this. It wouldn't be called Gardasil at that point. They'll come up with a new name for the boy side because they want to sound masculine and not feminine.
Sure.
But the point is that they believe that all 11 and 12-year-old boys need to receive this three-shot dose of the vaccine. Oh, did I mention to you that for the boys' version of the vaccine, well, right now for the girls' version, another company came on the scene. So Merck is competing right now with GlaxoSmithKline and their product Cervarix. for the boys, Merck holds the control of the patents for the boys' vaccine. And the sales in the girls' vaccine have been, well, let's say, lackluster at best, as many parents, I hope, have come to their common sense senses to understand that, you know what, I really don't want my 11-year-old daughter getting a vaccination shot so that she can go out and feel like she can have sex of any type, whether it's protected or unprotected.
It's a two-sided coin, because also the parents are becoming aware of these side effects. And the fact that there have been a statistically significant number of deaths and a statistically significant number of major illnesses.
Shame on you, because the AAP is going to come down on you hard.
Yeah,
because according to them, they're actually, you remember Michelle Bachmann, who was running for president, who's a congresswoman from Minnesota, actually brought this forward as part of her campaign. And she pointed out that this vaccine could have very serious side effects. And that a mother had told her that her daughter had become mentally damaged after receiving the HPV vaccine. Now, the AAP wanted to jump all over this one, and this is another logical fallacy, ladies and gentlemen, so listen closely. The AAP quickly said, and I quote, "There is absolutely no scientific validity to the claim that the vaccine is dangerous and can cause mental retardation."
Ah, yes.
See,
and.
The and word.
Now, let's talk about that from a presuppositional logic perspective.
Absolutely.
You can make any statement true by making it conditional.
Conditional or qualifying.
That's right. And when you add that and, you make one or the other side of the and true, you've made the whole sentence true.
That's a part of the whole fallacy.
It creates that logical fallacy. The fact is, there have been only 9 death claims. I think 9 is 9 too many.
Yes.
A vaccine should not cause any kind of an autoimmune response that involves fainting, which is a big problem, and heart stoppage, which is what I would call probably the largest problem involved. A stop a beating heart.
Yes, that is a big problem.
Yeah, that can be a major thing. But the fact is that this thing has a number of side effect problems. Now, let's go into why a state legislator would want to get involved in a vaccination question. And the idea was, if you'll recall, was to make it a mandatory.
It had to be a mandate because you had to get the vaccine before you could qualify to be let into school.
Exactly.
So in other words, they're using the school as the gatekeeper for parents who want to send their kids to school. But Chuck, it was like I said at the beginning of our program, who's getting vaccinated and for what? The point is, what's happening here, ladies and gentlemen, this honestly, yes, 11 and 12-year-old boys, if they're sexually active, could be exposed to these type of things. But honestly, Chuck, for the vast majority of people across the fruited plain, our 11 and 12-year-old kids are out playing ball or riding their bikes or hopefully studying, which we hope they're doing. They're not running behind the shed for a quick excitement. They're not engaging in this. This is for a small target population.
That's right.
Just like any other vaccine is, what they do is they broaden it to make it mandatory on everybody because they're trying to get to a population that does need something but will not get it otherwise or would not receive it otherwise unless you mandate it on them. This gives Merck and Company these shots. It's a series of 3 shots. They're $130 per shot.
Per shot.
Per shot. So we're talking basically $400 plus your office visits for your doctor. Merck stands to make a significant amount of money off of this because, as I mentioned, they now have competition for the female vaccine, and they also have lackluster sales because they couldn't get the mandates pushed through in enough states. Texas turned it back after Governor Perry ended up taking one on the chin by mandating himself, and then the legislature came and overruled him.
As well he should have.
And Ohio, they couldn't get it done in Ohio, and I think that I want to toot a little horn here. I think it's in part because the Institute for Principal Policy came out with some data and some information that caused legislators to say, whoa, wait a minute. What are we doing here?
And also some data that the American Academy of Pediatrics seems to have ignored, and that is when they issue a statement that says that no discernible vaccine-specific adverse effects have, with the exception of rare anaphylaxis, the vaccine components have been detected. They're just flat wrong. The fact is the Center for Disease Control has on file a number of adverse reactions to this, and they can't all just be laid out to anaphylaxis. Some of it is an overstimulation of immune response, which leads to diseases like Guillain-Barré. And Guillain-Barré, in case you don't know, is a disease where antibodies attack nerves. And they're very often the result of certain kinds of vaccines, and people go paralytic. and recover sometimes 100% and sometimes not at all. It just depends. Most people do have some kind of recovery, and most people recover fully, sometimes not for years. It first popped up, if you recall, with the old swine flu back in the 70s, if you recall that mess. They came up with this instant vaccine based on this idea down in South Carolina or someplace. Somebody got a case of what they called the swine flu, and it was going to be this horrible, deadly flu, and a bunch of people went out and got the vaccine and ended up with Guillain-Barré syndrome and very ill from the shot. I was interested in a girl in college at the time who was a nursing student who, of course, was required to take the shot, and it made her sick as a dog for weeks. But let's talk about the reason why.
Let me give you some hard numbers.
Well, hold on. Let's talk about why Merck wanted this to be a mandatory vaccine.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Let's talk about some hard numbers. Right now, in the last 5 years since Gardasil has come on the market, they have administered 40 million doses of the vaccine at $130 a crack. Now, we're not going to sit here and do the math for you, but that's fine. The point is that what they expected was 80% of the female population of in that age bracket to get this vaccine. Only 32% have actually gotten the series of the vaccine of their target audience that they were looking at. Chuck, they were looking at only a 20% letdown, and now they got a 68% letdown. They're losing lots and lots of green. So they've decided, and they're getting the American Academy of Pediatrics help, hey, we've got another market out there. How about 11- and 12-year-old boys?
Boys.
They can contract it as well. Usually boys are carriers. They're carriers. They don't get the end results, which is the cervical cancers. But the point is that they are trying to create a new market that they have sole control over. And if they mandate it for school entry, then that 80% becomes 85%, maybe it becomes 90%. Now, it's interesting because the chairman of the American Academy of Pediatrics Committee on Infectious Diseases, a Dr. Michael Brady, he let the cat out of the bag. Like I said, they want to address a specific population, but in order to get the population, they have to include everybody. And he said here, and he says, given it 32% of girls is not enough to dent the transmission of the disease. And he says, and I quote, "Also, providing girls only with HPV vaccine does not interrupt transmission in those males who have sex with males." That's the target audience for
Bingo.
The boys. It is men who are having sexual relationships with men.
There is, believe it or not, another reason why Merck wanted this thing. It's a twofold reason.
Sure.
It's the money, but there's another very important reason why they wanted this made mandatory.
And this is what we found out when Chuck did the research for when Ohio was trying to make it mandatory. Get to the punchline, Chuck. This is great.
Here's the punchline, folks. Once it's made mandatory by a certain number of states, Merck is completely indemnified from damage suit by the tenants of the Patriot Act. Because mandatory vaccinations are given indemnity by federal law from damage suits.
So they were going to bar parents access to the courts to sue the drug manufacturer who is making a product that already has. Now, folks, I'm talking about, we've got 5 years of a product on the market that has caused 9 deaths and at least 163 claims for injuries. And this is only from a target for a population of only 32% of the target that they were trying to hit to start with.
Okay, there are 9 deaths that the drug companies are willing to accede to.
That's right.
There are, last I read, and this is a couple of years ago when this popped back up, somebody was talking about reintroducing this thing. I went back and looked, and the numbers were up over 200.
Yeah, and that's not a surprise. And the point is the farther we go, they're going to be more and more accurate in diagnosing the link between problems with the vaccine and fatal or other issues that come up. Now, folks, we've stopped it before. If you want to go to our website at principlepolicy.com, you can go back and you can dig in our archives. Just type in HPV vaccine and you can pull up our articles and our information that we gave to the legislators on this issue. They're trying to come after your boys now. They tried to come after your girls, and I'm sure probably some of you are sitting there like, well, I gave my girls the vaccine. Okay, that was your choice to make. However, this is a situation where it's a bear grab at money and immunity for the drug manufacturers so that they can absolve themselves of all of the financial liability for all the deaths that this vaccine, which only is really needed for a small percentage of the population that's engaging in early and possibly dangerous sexual acts, like male-on-male sex.
Yeah, that's right.
Folks, do your homework. You see this come back up, contact your legislators. But don't let a group like the American Academy of Pediatrics just try to assuage all your fears because of their position of authority. Think, discern, act. That's what it takes.
And join us tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.